You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker, your daily Broncos podcast.
Good morning. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, giving you the best insight and coverage of all things orange and blue related. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst covering the National Football League and the Denver Broncos. You guys can follow me over on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. And today I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Cameron Parker. You guys can follow him as well at Cam Parker NFL. Cam, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. It was relaxing. Got the opportunity to watch some football that wasn't exactly the NFL, but you know, it keeps you in tune with the football spirit, should I say? And so it was definitely a nice change of pace. Obviously, with college football ending and you know the Super Bowl ending, should I say, about a week ago. So it was a great change of pace to see some different action.
Football is back, and yeah, you know, I think that's what a lot of fans were kind of looking forward to. I know yesterday I was just browsing around, taking a look on social media before the AAFL had originally kicked off, and there was a lot of excitement. I think there was some skepticism from a lot of people, but overall, I just think people are happy to see football. You know, despite the NFL season ending, we don't get to see football necessarily on television anymore. The AAFL is keeping that option open for fans, and I guarantee you, if it continues to work out, I think it's going to be well. I enjoyed the games that I watched. Now, obviously, it's not to the extent and the level of performance that you see obviously Sundays in the National Football League. You know, there's some drop off there, especially at the quarterback position, offensive line. You know, there's some different defensive blitz rules that, you know, really kind of change the impact. You know, in the NFL, you could send six people. Well, in the AAFL, you can only send a total of five, and that includes down linemen. So really, there's not a lot of upside there. There are a lot of benefits. So, but we'll talk about that as well on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Segment number one, we're going to go through our Broncos daily rundown. We're going to be talking about what Philip Lindsay is doing for somebody in the Colorado community. Very, very awesome stuff there. That's segment number one. And segment number two, we're going to talk about the AAFL. And from a Broncos perspective, there are several Denver Broncos players that are on various rosters around the AAFL. We're going to talk about who they are and what you can look forward to with the new league to keep your football season going, because NFL season is over. We still love football, and it's definitely exciting. We're going to talk about some of the pros that we saw from this weekend's action, the AAFL. And segment number three, we're going to take a look at some of the top upcoming free agents for the free agency class of 2019. We're going to get a little bit of a preview here, and then we're going to get into free agency frenzy, obviously, when March hits and the free agency period officially begins for the Broncos and the NFL and the new league year. So, Cam, let's waste no time. Let's get right back into our discussion here now in our Broncos daily rundown today. I think it's important we touch base on what Philip Lindsay is doing. He has an impact on the field. But being a Colorado guy, being an underdog, he's definitely had a big heart. That's one of the things I've always appreciated about Philip Lindsay, is his determining to go out of his way for other people. Now, for example, he's doing something in the community that is helping somebody else. Now, originally, when Philip Lindsay became injured and, you know, he couldn't travel necessarily to the Pro Bowl because he was injured, the NFL wasn't going to fund it, the Broncos couldn't pay for it because it would violate the collective bargaining agreement, so on and so forth, there was a GoFundMe that was created to send Philip Lindsay to the Pro Bowl. And Philip Lindsay, instead of that, has turned that into an ability, a GoFundMe, to help raise money for a veteran that was in the Air Force who is ill, and this guy is facing eviction. Now, this is an amazing thing here, Cam, because we talk about what Philip Lindsay does on the field, but what he does off the field is he's just very evident in the community. I mean, if you talk to a lot of people about Philip Lindsay, he's one of the most humble guys out in public. He's always finding ways to give back, and I tell you what, that is very, very awesome of him. Now, the story here is of a guy by the name of Les Thomas. He's fighting stage 5 kidney disease, but he's also being evicted from his house. And this is because hospital bills cost a lot of money. He's unable to make a lot of payments here and there because his health is at a point where he has to take care of himself. And so I see definitely how hard it is to make payments. So Philip Lindsay is helping out Les Thomas and this story. Now, this is the thing that really excites me, okay? The original GoFundMe had to raise around maybe $5,000 for Philip Lindsay to get him to the Pro Bowl. Since Philip Lindsay has taken over this GoFundMe for this veteran, they have raised over $19,000, and that is absolutely riving. This is an amazing thing, and I know it's the offseason. I know there's not a lot of topics to really go over at this point, but just this act from Philip Lindsay alone, I think, is very special.
It is, Cody. It really is. And I think that the one thing that does sort of, I guess it's sort of a hard thing for sometimes fans to, you know, maybe understand, or just it's because they always focus on the football player, that Philip Lindsay, the person, he's just, like you said, he's a very humble individual. And I've actually spoken to one of my close friends that has actually had the opportunity to talk to Philip Lindsay numerous times. And he's said that he is one of the most genuine people that you will ever come across. And I think he called him, you know, one of the better Broncos that he's actually, you know, had the opportunity to converse with. And I think that now it's going to sound necessarily harsh to some players, you know, that have lived in the NFL and so on and so forth. But that's usually what separates the good players from the great players, and maybe even the great players to the future Hall of Fame players. I mean, the ability to put it all on the field, and then also putting it on the off the field stuff, with putting forth the stuff in the community, and basically this guy that, you know, who cares necessarily what I do on the field, as long as the impact that I'm making off the field is also as a precedent for future people that are in my position. I think that in essence is the biggest impact that you can obviously have. I mean, obviously we know his story. It is one of the most impactful stories, certainly, that we can remember in recent memory. So, I mean, we obviously do not want to discount that. But again, they are human beings, and they are people. And so if they can live a lasting impression on just the NFL community or even people outside of that community, that will make more memories for those people affected than necessarily what he does on the field.
Yeah, and well, you know, I think it was cool that fans wanted to put forth the effort originally to send Philip Lindsay to the Pro Bowl. I mean, he talked about he enjoyed his experience there, but really he doesn't want to play. If he gets selected to be in the Pro Bowl, you know, going forward, he doesn't want to play in it. And I think the crazy thing when we think about this, and it comes from generosity, you know, I think he'd rather spend a lot of time just doing things in the community. Here's the thing about Philip Lindsay. He's a guy, comes from very humble beginnings. You know, I think he felt slighted, and we all know the story about him being, you know, undrafted. You know, all these teams passed him over, and originally he wanted to go to Baltimore. He wanted to spurn the Broncos, but then he was convinced by his mom. So, you know, I think he's got this need to prove himself, and he doesn't necessarily have to prove himself because we know what type of player he is. We know what type of person he is. However, I think all this stuff is just icing on the cake when you see NFL athletes, you know, any kind of professional sports athlete, celebrity, whoever it may be, doing things for others in the community that may be going through hard times. That's the stuff that it's all about. Our purpose on this world is to, you know, whatever platform we have, is to do whatever we can to help improve the lives of other people. That, in my honest opinion, is what it's all about. You know, you could play on a national stage, you can have thousands of fans, so on and so forth, but if you're not doing anything to improve the lives of other people, you're misusing your platform. And I think every single person in this world, not just athletes, they have a platform to make a difference, and that is so important going forward. So coming up here in segment number two, we're going to be talking about the AAFL, the Alliance of American Football League, and which Broncos players are playing on what teams and what to look forward to in that. Our takeaways from what we saw over the weekend's action in the AAFL for the kickoff. Football is not over. Football is still continuing here with the AAFL despite the NFL season concluding. So before we get into that, I got to tell you guys to check out Adam Mades of Locked On Nuggets. Now, the Nuggets are going through a rough three-game skid. And where is it coming from? Is it coming from the Nuggets' inability to play consistent basketball? Is it because they have inconsistent possessions down the court, pick and roll defense? Mike Malone spoke to the media this weekend and also said the Nuggets have gotten soft on defense, whether it be in the pick and roll. The bigs have gotten soft and the power forwards have gotten soft. The Nuggets, they have to find a way to respond as the Miami Heat come into town this evening. Check out Adam Mades and Locked On Nuggets to preview this matchup today. All right, Cam, the AAFL had kicked off this week, and there, like I said at the opening of the show, so many people on social media, there was, I'd say it's about 50-50. There was excitement, there was skepticism, and I'd still say it's a little bit of that nature after this weekend. However, I can't complain. I love watching football, and I was really surprised by the AAFL. And the reason I was surprised, because it generated some topics of interest that the NFL is currently not addressing. I think one of the biggest things, Cam, is the replay review system that they have. They have a sky judge that has live access. The cameras pan into that. And while they're communicating with the officials on the field to talk about a ruling, whether it was an incomplete catch, there was one in the San Antonio game over the weekend where it was ruled a reception. They went to the box, the sky judge, everybody got a taste on what it was like to have that communication from a sky judge and the officials to determine a ruling. That right there is very, very appealing. Now, like I said, the one thing that surprises me also about the product of the AAFL is that it's just different. The product is not the NFL product. Quarterback play, like I said earlier, is definitely the most inconsistent part of it. There are some exciting plays. And we saw a play in the San Antonio game where, you know, a guy comes around the edge and just absolutely obliterates the quarterback. His helmet flies off. The ball comes out. No flag. That, to me, was very fun.
It sort of generated a lot of buzz that, hey, we should make a video game out of this. You know, just that kind of thing. And
I would buy it.
I would buy it, too. And in fact, I would actually say that 2K should do the modeling. But I mean, hey, you know, EA Sports is doing this whole thing, so they might make a story mode out of it. That's a bunny trail. Anyway, I think that, you know, you talked about the referee and just how they had this whole sky judge. My thing that, and I think it's 100% going to be a successful thing. My only issue with it is if the NFL is making endless and endless amounts of money, why is the AAF experimenting with this when it really should have been the NFL that has experimented with this? That's my only thing. And so I think it's great. I think it's a great system that will work in the National Football League. The fact that there was a sky judge and the fact that the person that was in there actually said, I believe it was incomplete, but then in the span of about a minute changed her opinion on what the ruling was. And then therefore became that exact ruling. That to me just shows you the human element can also work in sports. And so it isn't just the National Football League, but just anything down the line. This type of action is something that I think that all sports could even look into theoretically, because of the fact that, you know, humans are, you know, to the point where we can change our opinion. We are allowed to change our opinion. And for this is going to give that opportunity to do so.
It really is. And here's another thing that I found interesting too, is that, look, if you're looking for the NFL type product with the AAFL, you're not going to get it. I think the NFL can really use the AAFL though as a way in the future to feed players, maybe practice squad players or maybe some other type of players in a, you know, maybe a team developmental system. Maybe the AAFL can grow a little bit where the NFL can send guys down there to develop while getting game action. I mean, this is something too that would be, you know, it's a winter thing, winter spring thing. The NFL is not happening during that time. It would be the perfect opportunity for NFL coaches, NFL general managers to evaluate some of the players that they have maybe on practice squad. And I think that's the important thing to take into consideration going forward, because the AAFL can be an experimental tool the NFL absolutely utilizes. Because think about it. NFL alumni, you have coaches, old NFL coaches, old college coaches in this AAFL league, and I think that makes it a little bit more exciting. You get to see some former players, which, you know, Cam, I wanted to talk to you about real quick about some players that are playing in the AAFL that are former Denver Broncos. Shout out to Nicky Jobvalla for putting together this list and doing some extensive research into it, but there are several former Broncos that are playing right now in the AAFL, and I'm going to name off a few of the key ones that we know. Obviously, Raheem Moore, he's playing for Arizona, and I think Jordan Leslie, Kenny Bell, Austin Traylor are some other guys that we know of very well. You know, John D'Arce is another guy that spent time with the Broncos in training camp this past offseason. So there are some former Broncos here. I think it's kind of a cool thing to watch, though. But we talked about Kenny Bell. We've talked about Jordan Leslie before. We've also talked about John D'Arce. I mean, I think this can be a really cool thing for the NFL. And here's my only thing, though. There's excitement week one. Will that excitement be around week three, week four of the AAFL season? That is my biggest question. Can they sustain it? Because, like I said, the game quality is not as disciplined in terms of coaching, offense, defense, so on and so forth, and overall play as it is in the NFL.
Absolutely. And the one thing that they can definitely glean their head on is that they got a big television rating in that first weekend. It was the inaugural weekend. It was a really good, solid kickoff. And think about it. I mean, they were going up against the Rockets and Thunder, which is a pretty good basketball matchup, you know, between James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So they outrated even them in that inaugural weekend, and that just further proved that football is king. But you know, as far as the former Denver Broncos players, I just think that's just this fascinating dynamic going to, I think, afford this AAF to potentially be a minor league system. Because if you look at it, Austin Traylor was a guy that we were talking up at one point. John D'Arce was one guy we were actually talking up as a potential spot for a 53-man roster. I mean, think about it. John D'Arce actually might have been on the Denver Broncos roster if the wide receiver position in that training camp was not as deep. John D'Arce would have been on the 53-man roster. I mean, that's just how good he was, and especially with Austin Traylor. You know, I think when you and I were doing our 53-man, we had actually kept Austin Traylor. Just because of the camaraderie, what he has, his value to the Denver Broncos, what he had given them, and even Kenny Bell. I mean, you know, Kenny Bell was I believe he was a futures contract, or he was one of the first initial signees. So I think that there will be a lot of familiarity, you know, and a lot of names that maybe not just are Bronco fans, just Bronco players, but just players that, you know, hey, you hear this name and all of a sudden it's just one of those like, hey, I remember that name. Or even if you're a fan of a college football team and you see a name resurface. I know that myself, you know, being a Nebraska Cornhuskers fan, there's one team in particular that has three or four Nebraska Cornhusker players, obviously Kenny Bell being one of them. But that team, I mean, you got guys like Terrell Newby and DeMorne Personnel. And so there's an influx of Nebraska Cornhuskers talent on there. So I think that's the beautiful thing, too, about something like this, like the AAF, is that you can gravitate towards maybe not just pro teams, but if you're following, you know, obviously college teams and such, it affords you the opportunity to still see them play.
I think one of the things, too, we might have a poll question for the over and under. How long is it going to take for Paxton Lynch to be named to an AAFL roster? That is the question of the century. We'll answer that another day, though. But coming up here in segment number three, we're going to talk about the upcoming free agency period. We're going to talk about some of the top free agents in the class of 2019. Who might the Broncos look at? Who are some of the most intriguing prospects? We give you a small little preview as we get up to get ready for NFL free agency this March. All right, free agency is coming up March 13th. We're going to have you covered over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. There is a ton of free agents that are going to be hitting the open market come the new league year, and I guarantee the Broncos have to take a look at getting at least one really big name this offseason. And you know what? Maybe you can get some role players as well. But we talked about a little bit earlier. I know one of your key guys, Cam, that you said was on your wish list was Jadeveon Clowney.
More like a dream. More like a dream.
Well, and that's another thing. We talk about pass rushers. You talk about him. You have defensive ends. You have DeMarcus Lawrence probably being the top defensive end or pass rusher being linked to the NFL free agency period of 2019 this year. You know, there are some other talks there. Earl Thomas is going to bounce around. There is some talk that Earl Thomas could actually end up in Kansas City, you know, and they have some tough decisions as well within the division with D Ford possibly testing out the free agency period. But here's a couple of guys that I think we've talked about that I think the Broncos need to take a serious look at here. I'm all in on CJ Mosley. We've made that very known. CJ Mosley is a very versatile inside linebacker that we talked about. You look at how NFL teams are having success. You look at the Patriots in the Super Bowl against a very high scoring offense. You look at them. They did the same thing against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. Having a versatile inside linebacker makes a tremendous difference when it comes to tight ends coming across the field or even tailbacks coming out of the backfield. The Broncos had that with Danny Trevathan being able to line him up outside against a running back in an empty formation. That is what the Broncos need to have this year. A guy as well that I think the Broncos absolutely need to take a look at is a safety in Landon Collins coming in from the Giants. He's a guy that I'm telling you what, he is a very versatile type of guy. He reminds me a lot of TJ Ward, and he brings some tenacity to a defense. I mean, when we saw the Giants play the Broncos and Landon Collins had his mark defensively all over the field in that game when the Broncos had lost. They also lost Emmanuel Sanders to that injury on a hit that Landon Collins actually had on him, which hurt his ankle. And, you know, really Emmanuel Sanders' ankle was never really the same the rest of the season back in 2017. But Cam, give me some of your quick thoughts. Who are some, you know, key guys, if you could really choose a top player outside of Jadeveon Clowney to bring it to the Broncos for free agency, who would it be?
Yeah, you touched on a few of those guys that I had have, at least by my own interest, that I think the Broncos should be interested in, Landon Collins being one, and obviously C.J. Mosley. My thinking just with C.J. Mosley is, what direction is Baltimore headed? That's basically going to be our clear indication, because if Baltimore is putting out the feelers that maybe C.J. Mosley will be hitting the open market, or potentially that they might, surprisingly, maybe want a franchise tag C.J. Mosley, their linebacker. So if they let C.J. Mosley hit the market, then ultimately you're going to see a lot of teams. I would imagine the Denver Broncos will be one of those teams, be interested in C.J. Mosley. The one thing, I'm in agreement on a lot of those players, and I think that one of the few positions that might be obviously intriguing is tight end. Now the tight end group, I've looked at it a little bit, but it is not as deep per se as wanting to go at it in the draft and getting a lot of depth players from that position, or maybe even wide receiver if the Denver Broncos wanted to go that route, because obviously wide receiver, tight end is one of those deeper positions in the draft this year. The other thing to consider too is, how exactly aggressive will the Denver Broncos be? Because there is aggressive in keeping your in-house free agents, and then there's an aggressive in going out and going to free agency, because who knows, it might be slowed down to the point, you know, we're seeing with the Colorado Rockies, and obviously with Nolan Arenado, they haven't spent a lot of money, but it's probably because they want to lock up Nolan Arenado. We might actually see it a little bit with the Denver Broncos, that could it be that the free agency might be a little bit slowed down because they want to put forth in a concerted effort to lock up guys like Matt Paradis and Chris Harris Jr. That, I think, is a very real possibility, that they might actually be focused on wanting to lock up their own guys and then start focusing really hard on free agency.
And there's nothing wrong with that, too. I mean, you have to factor in Golden Tate, wide receiver. We talked about wide receiver being needed. If Emmanuel Sanders isn't ready week one, you have Golden Tate, you have guys, options like Randall Cobb from Green Bay. You know, he's a big option that may be on the outs in Green Bay under a new offensive system, new head coach. But I think you're right. I think the Broncos have to allocate those resources to first prioritizing Matt Paradis as the number one re-signee that the Broncos have to pen to paper right away once free agency goes. I think Matt Paradis is looking for around $11 million with per year, maybe a little bit more guaranteed money overall in his deal. But I think the thing is that if they can't keep Matt Paradis, you have to factor in, who can they target in the open market at offensive line, at the center position? Those are going to be very, very big keys. He's the biggest center, biggest, in my honest opinion, outside of Trent Brown, he's the biggest offensive lineman to hit free agency this offseason. We'll have you covered over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast as we approach free agency frenzy. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about franchise tag candidates. We're going to talk about potential targets that the Broncos may look at by position over here at the Locked On Broncos podcast. And then once free agency hits, we're going to have full-on coverage of all the action from around the National Football League, because free agency is the biggest period leading up to the NFL draft and the offseason for OTAs, mini camp, training camp, to get you ready for the 2019 NFL regular season. Very excited about that. We'll have all the coverage over here on a daily Locked On Broncos podcast. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, speaking for Cameron Parker. We'll see you tomorrow for another episode of the show.